Have you ever been parched, like really, really thirsty? You know, one of my favorite things to do is to walk 18 holes. And if it's a really hot day, then yeah, I can almost taste this right now. Is at the turn or after I'm finished is to have an ice cold Coca-Cola Classic. Now, I'm pretty sure that that Coke is not quenching my thirst as much as it just tastes really good. And I'm so thirsty. But there have been a few times in my life when I've been extremely, extremely thirsty. Maybe it was a long work day on one of my buddy's farms growing up, or perhaps it was a long run that I went on, and my thirst became so great that to get cold water at that point was exactly what the doctor ordered. Now, those are the times in my life when I've been the most physically thirsty. Currently, we're experiencing thirst in our lives. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that. And it's relative to all the things that normally occupy our time being taken away, at least temporarily. I mean, to have a trip to the NCAA tournament taken away from my Belmont Bruins, I was and I still am devastated about that lost opportunity. You know, I've told you before that in grad school, I got to work for Coach Bird in Belmont, and I was a grad assistant coach, and it was super fun to do that. And a couple years after I finished that stint, I had moved on to coach at Brentwood Academy. I was an assistant for our varsity team and was coaching the middle school at the time. And Belmont happened, this was in 2006, and Belmont happened to be in their conference championship game for the first time. They were actually playing Lipscomb, and they were playing in East Tennessee at East Tennessee State University for a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And I wasn't able to watch the game that day because we were actually playing Brentwood Academy in the state tournament that day. And so the games coincided with one another, and I remember it like it was yesterday because I knew that our game was going to finish before Belmont's game was going to finish before our game finished. And so my dad, who was attending our game but was following the Belmont game, it was during one of the timeouts in the second half, and my eye caught him in the stands. And he was up, you know, some 20 rows with his arms just up in the air, extended. And I knew him doing that Belmont had won. They actually won in overtime. It was an incredible game. But I was so excited and moved by that, I started crying during the timeout. And Coach Pitts, our head coach at the time, whom I worked for, he caught me crying. And he was like, "Brandon, what in the world are you crying about?" So I had to tell him. It's pretty embarrassing, but it was really exciting. Now I know that in the grand scheme of things, these things that I'm talking about are things that I'm alluding to, like the restaurants that we get to eat at and the plays that we go see, the dinner with friends, the cup of coffee with a colleague. These things aren't life and death. But remember what I said after the tornado a few weeks ago, quoting the East Nashville songwriter, reflecting on the tornado's devastation and loss of so many things. She lost a ton of her stuff. And she said, "Yeah, it's just stuff, but it's not nothing." And I think that applies here. Our leisure activities are just that. They're activities, but they're not nothing. And I know that we're thirsty for these things. Many of us have lost much more than that already, or we stand to. Our text today comes from John's Gospel. We're going to look in the 19th chapter, just a couple of verses, beginning with verse 28. I'd ask you to turn there with me now to John chapter 19, looking at verse 28. Hear God's Word. "After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, he said, 'I'm thirsty.' A jar full of sour wine was sitting there, so they fixed a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch, and they held it up to his mouth." Now, I wasn't sure what to think about this series when we planned this out. I was both excited, but also a little wary of focusing 7 straight weeks on Jesus being on the cross. Well, with our world as it is now, it seems appropriate. I know many of you are tired, you're weary, you're anxious, you're confused, you're scared, you're you're thirsty. Perhaps sorrow is your reality right now. And I pray that our worship today will push back against that sorrow and remind us that even though we may be thirsty, that all is well. You know, we don't exactly know what the sour wine is about. It could have been intended as medicine for Jesus, somewhat of a kind gesture. It also could have been intended to heap onto his pain. You know, the four Gospels together, they give us a picture of Jesus being mocked, the crowd scoffing at him. And the majority of those left around the cross at this time were his accusers. Each of the Gospels indicate that they divided Jesus' clothes amongst themselves and cast lots for them. You know, I can't stand bullies. But at the same time, I realize that bullying always comes from a place of insecurity. The bully's not happy. The bully says, I'm not happy with me, so I'm going to tear you down to make me feel bigger, to make me feel better. You know, John's gospel gives us a picture of Jesus rising above this mocking, this bullying. And John's characterization of Jesus is that he is not defenseless on the cross taking blows. No, John is telling us that Jesus knew exactly what his mission was. His comments about Jesus show that Jesus is in complete control. In fact, that's the picture that John paints of Jesus throughout the entire gospel. And that's why it's a bit strange to hear John quote Jesus saying, I thirst. It's not that Jesus wasn't thirsty. I'm sure that he was. I think this was the ultimate dry mouth. Jesus had been brutally beaten, drug up the hill where he had to carry his own cross for a while until he was helped. I mean, this was, by the time we get to this point in the story, Jesus is for sure thirsty. But John's picture of Jesus is not that he's not in control. And we see that because John explains that Jesus is doing this, is saying these things, is carrying this out, the mission from his Father, to fulfill what has already been said. Let me ask you, are you thirsty today? Are you fearing what a job loss may be coming? The stock market that is perhaps continuing to plunge? Is someone that you know, have they already been infected by COVID-19? Are you afraid of these things? Are you anxious? Are you perhaps moving toward depression? I need you to hear me say that Jesus is not surprised by any of this. And we have to help one another lean into the confidence that Jesus is exhibiting here on the cross. But then just to keep Jesus' words consistent with the rest of his teaching and all of his doing in John's gospel, like I said, John gives us this indication of what Jesus is doing. You know, Jesus had once said, I came not to abolish the law and the prophets, I came to fulfill them. And what's going on here, the brutal scene that the Romans think they're in charge of, guys, this has been the plan for as long as anyone can remember, even longer. Jesus has been around since the beginning. John, in his first chapter, explains this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. This is Jesus, and Jesus is in just as much control now, right now, in this part of the story, even though it doesn't look like it, just as much control as he has ever been in. And that's also true today. Jesus is in as much control as he has ever been. And if we're going to continue to be the church, we must hold on to this truth. We must help one another continue to believe. The work of the church goes on, regardless of what our circumstances are, because our King, Jesus, is still working, still showing up, still healing, still calming the storms that rage inside of us and outside of us. Jesus is still quenching our thirst. Now, in order for us to continue to do this, we have to continue to love one another well. And while we may be in a period of physical distancing, we cannot discontinue caring for one another. That's why it's so important to pass the peace throughout the week. And that's why it's so important for us to continue to give our tithes and offerings to the church, to the work that we are continuing to faithfully do that we believe is as or more important than it's ever been with the state that the world is in. So yes, as uncomfortable as it might be because the economy is tumultuous at best, we are asking you to give generously, to continue to do so, so that we can continue to be the church in a variety of ways and in a variety of new ways. Now, this is not just about getting our hobbies back or getting our leisure activities back, although that will be nice. This is not even about moving away from our hardship and suffering. There'll be other epidemics, perhaps even pandemics, tornadoes, hurricanes, stock market plunges. I've told you often that we live in the already, but the not yet. And all of these things are evidences of the not yet, that the world is still broken and that the church is still set apart to push back against that brokenness, to restore the shalom, the peace, the wholeness that God's mission is actually already restoring. You see, the already, that's what Jesus is bringing to us as John recounts the last minutes of Jesus' life. And Jesus is confident in what he is doing. And that means for you and me that we can be confident in what Jesus is doing today. The Beatitudes in Matthew 5, verse 6, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." You see, Jesus made a way for us to be filled, to never hunger and thirst again, at least not to be overcome by our thirst. Back in chapter 7 in John's Gospel, Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let them come to me. And anyone who believes in me, let them drink. As the Scripture has said," here Jesus is fulfilling more Scripture. It was such a huge part of his ministry because it had been set long before Jesus ever came to earth. "As Scripture has said," the verse continues, "out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." That's in John 7, verses 37 and 38. Now, our lives are going to be strange for a while, but this will pass. And I pray that you will stay encouraged. I pray that you will help one another, that you will help me, and we will not be overcome by this season of thirst, and that out of us, out of the Holy Spirit living in us, that we can actually continue to be the channels, the rivers in which life comes for others. Most incredible thing I saw this week, and I've seen a lot of incredible things, was a short video that somebody shot from their phone. And my wife is a healthcare professional, so my heart has been heavy and interested in watching just the reality of what our healthcare professionals are dealing with. They are on the front lines in dealing with COVID-19 and the coronavirus and all that is going on. In this scene, there's a hospital in Atlanta. I'm not sure which one it is, but this hospital is set with quite a few apartment buildings, large apartment buildings around it. And everybody's home, you know, we're physical distancing. So one of the residents in one of the apartment buildings caught this on video at the shift change. And you guys know when the shift changes are for the nurses, around 7 in the morning, 7 in the evening. And one of the shift changes, droves of people, workers were coming in, droves were coming out, and it seemed like every apartment building was just erupting with applause, with cheers for them as they either went into the hospital or came out. It's an incredible scene. I encourage you to Google it. It's incredible. People are thirsty. We are, but we cannot give up on continuing to to be the channel that lets living water come through us. We must continue to run to Jesus and expect Him to continue quenching the thirst that exists around us and in us. Let's pray. God, we thank You for Your Word and that You are continuing to allow us to gather together even in these unusual circumstances. We ask You to heal those who are sick. We ask You to push back against the spread of this virus. And we ask You to encourage the hearts of Your people. Meet us in our sin. Meet us in our doubt. Continue to give us confidence in our salvation. And continue to draw others who may be thirstier than they've ever been to Yourself. Your throne is open. You are welcoming us there. And I ask that You continue to comfort Your people, O Lord. It's in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.